The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction recently held a presentation on methamphetamine in Europe, past and present. Among the speakers was Dr. Gabriela Barbalia, Senior Medical Officer of the Prevention and Care of Substance Abuse Service and a professor at Pompeu Fabra University, Spain.
So we will focus on Barcelona, which is one of the cities in Spain with a predominant harm reduction model. Before I begin, I would like to sound a note of caution regarding monitoring of illicit drugs in general and methamphetamine in particular. So as we all know, drug markets are complex and dynamic systems, as Alexis a little bit explained at the beginning. And despite having relatively good monitoring system here in Spain, particularly in Barcelona, it is very difficult to put all the pieces together and know exactly what is going on when it comes to drug markets. So in order to answer this question, please be aware that we are often only having bits of information of the reality we are trying to understand. So however, not having the big picture doesn't mean that we should not doing action, intervention, activities, and making decision in order to try to meet the needs of the methamphetamine drug users. So in Barcelona, we detected three main profiles with problematic methamphetamine use. One is the use of methamphetamine, of inhaled methamphetamine within the Filipino community. This is called shabu. Within this community. And shabu consumption is embedded in Filipino culture. We had so many challenges working with this population. Maybe we can discuss them at the end. But one that I would like to highlight was the idea of building trust with this community and to be able to link them to drug services, to harm reduction or treatment services. The other profile that we have identified, and Alexis mentioned it as well, and Pabla also, is the chemsex user profile. So for those who are not familiar with chemsex, maybe, I don't know, in the public, so chemsex is the deliberate use of psychoactive drugs to have sex between men who have sex with men usually, but we detected women as well that practice chemsex. And a number of recent studies have found that TINA, which is the slang word for methamphetamine, which is the word that chemsex users use, is one of the most commonly drug used in chemsex sessions. And so the challenge with chemsex users, I think, is the linkage to service as well, but progressively they are coming to our services. And I will show you later on in a next slide. So finally, a third more heterogeneous group, which is the one we are seeing at the DCRs here, is this called methamphetamine in general, generically. So this group is very diverse, and we are detecting that they are a little bit younger, maybe, and probably there are more women. We don't know yet. We are trying to figure it out as we are receiving them in the drug consumption rooms. So the next slide, I will show you some piece of data about what is happening with methamphetamine here. So I will show you data on wastewater analysis. This data was provided by the Institute of Environmental Assessment and Water Research. Then I will show you data from drug checking, which was provided by Energy Control. And then I will show you accesses to the DCR and treatment demands. So this is the first slide. This is a first bird's eye view over the consumption or the detection of methamphetamine in wastewater analysis. For those who are not related with the technique, is the analysis of municipal wastewater, and in which drugs and metabolites are detected, and with the idea of estimating the community consumption of different drugs. So here you see here the last decade from 2011 to 2021, methamphetamine was detected in the wastewater analysis and wastewater in Barcelona. Here you see that there are two moments of the time in which we sample the wastewater. One is autumn and another is springtime. And basically what we see here is the increase in detection of methamphetamine through the years, with a peak in 2019, actually, during springtime. If you haven't been in Barcelona in springtime, you should, because there are a lot of tourism, a lot of people, etc. So, coincidentally, the detection was higher during weekend days. Then the pandemic came, and the detection was downward decrease. And in 2021, the detection was almost one third of the detection in 2019. So we can say that we are in a situation that we are not sure how it will evolve. So in the next slide, this is Esther that is passing the slides instead of me. That's why there is this lag. So I'm going here. You are seeing the annual percentage of MA medium purity. This is the data coming from Energy Control, which is the entity that does the drug checking in Spain. And as you can see here, the purity of the methamphetamine is high, and it is higher than cocaine from 2018 onward. The other thing that we found, or Energy found in the samples, was that there are few adulterants detected in the samples. So, and most of the few that are detected actually are stimulants as well. So it's MDDA, MDMA, MA, caffeine, ephedrine, etc. So it's a substance that is less adulterated than other drugs here in Barcelona. The next slide, it will show you what is the main route of administration. And this is one of the characteristics, I think, that is different from one which we see in Renses Republic. So the majority of the MA here in Barcelona is inhaled. This is the percentage of visits to the DCR, in which we see that 94% of MA is inhaled by both men and women. And we also have the information from the front line that chemsex users as well are inhaling TINA. And they also injected it, but they are progressively more engaged in inhaling it than in injecting it. So this is very different from the situation in CES Republic. The next slide is that I will show you is the number, no, this one, yeah. This is the number of annual visits to the DCR. Here in Barcelona, we have a model, and I haven't said that, but here in Barcelona, we have this Barcelona model, which integrates treatment and harm reduction in the same center. And in harm reduction services, we offer a lot of interventions. And we also offer drug consumption rooms for injection and for inhalation. So I will show you data from the inhalation space that we have in Cas Baluar. As you can see, it's completely the opposite of what Paula has shown, because heroin is the drug that produces the higher number of visits during over the years. And then you can see here the downward trend after the pandemic. And that's another thing that I would like to highlight, that we managed not to shut down the services during lockdown. And I think that was an incredible policy here in Barcelona, not to shut down the harm reduction services. They kept it open. And so here we have that during 2022, one out of over 10 accesses were done to consume methamphetamine. And almost half was for consumption, for heroin consumption. This is men. And in the case of women, we have the same data, and we can see that from 2020, the upward trend of women of the line of methamphetamine consumption is up. And in 2022, one out of six, more or less, visits to the drug consumption room were to consume inhaling methamphetamine in the case of women. That's why we are trying to see if women are uptaking more the methamphetamine in relatively terms, comparison with men. And the next slide, and I think it's the last one I will show you, is the relationship between the treatment demands and the DCR visits by sex. In this slide, you have on your left an axis that is showing you the percentage of methamphetamine treatment demands over the total treatment demands of over the total drugs. And then in your right axis, you see the number of visits to the DCR. In green are men, and in orange are women. And you can see that there is this increasing upward trend in the case of men and women asking for treatment. And this the data show you this, and the professionals told us that the profile that are asking for help mostly are chemsex users. And in the columns, you see that there are a progressive increasing in the number of visits due to methamphetamine use. And as I said before, the profile which is accessing to our DCR are very different, are very diverse. And that's the profile we are trying to discover and try to set responses to meet their needs.
That was Dr. Gabriela Barbella, Senior Medical Officer of the Prevention and Care of Substance Abuse Service and a professor at Pompeu Fabra University in Spain. Now let's hear from Esther Aranda, Manager of Harm Reduction Projects at Welfare and Development Association in Barcelona, Spain.
Our med story begins in 2015 when we detected the first med use in a DCR. At the beginning, people only used inhalate route, as Gabriela said. They were mainly Spanish, between 30, 35 years old, and there was a presence of women. It's not typical when we detected a new drug in the consumption rooms that we had presence of women. These first med users explained that there were few dealers located in the neighborhood of the DCR. During 2016, we designed together with Energy Control, the drug check organization, the monitoring strategy for the methamphetamine illegal market in our city. In this year, we started to offer drug checking service for each med use, for each med use. In 2017, in the middle, we observed an increasing number of people who reported using meth and an increasing number of meth-supervised consumptions. So, despite the increase in these indicators, people from DCR reported that they knew more meth users who didn't come to the service. So, the recruiting of this new population and the improvement of the domestic pipes were the reasons that promote a specific design of med pipes. This design was carried out jointly with the med users. We conducted two or three focus groups and administered individual questionnaires about med use, paraphernalia, context of use. Finally, users designed and we, the professionals, manufactured a ball pipe that was exactly the pipe what they want. In 2019, I think, yes, we started to dispense this pipe to use in the consumption room. And also we started to distribute the med pipe to use outside, at home or whatever you want. Okay. So in 2021, after COVID, no. In 2019, we started the trainings. These trainings were to the staff, and the topics were about substance, legal market, forms of use, effects, related harms, good practices. The idea was that all the staff was trained in methamphetamine. And in 2021, after COVID, we saw the med use continue to rise, and increasing some related problems, as induced psychosis. So after COVID restrictions, we started the community building work. We contacted to another countries, as Victor in Czech Republic or another people in Europe, to know his MET experience. And also make contact with same-sex civil society organizations in Barcelona, mental health services in the city, and homelessness services, trying to share information about the different contexts of med use, because we were thinking that not only in harm reduction services were med use. In 2022, we have created different work teams operating at different levels. At the base, we work with the civil society organization and the people who use meds. In the next level, we work with another harm reduction services, gender services, mental health units. This level really requires a lot of work of sensitivity and pedagogy and education about characteristic and specific needs of people who use meth. For example, to establish accompaniment and support specific circuits for people who use meth and present psychotic symptoms. This follow-up of the episode and the possible accompaniment to psychiatry service is carried out in more support than the rest of the people who use substances in the DCRs. And the other level is with the public health agencies, as Gabriela or people from government, where we work aspects of monitoring med use, funds, these kind of things. I'm going to show the different results related with med use of the last year, of 2022. In relation with the specific med training in this year, we trained a total of 33 professionals from harm reduction services only. Social workers, nurses, outreach teams, doctors, psychologists. I consider that the training in the psychosocial approach to psychotic episode was very special of interest. Because often, during the intoxications of methamphetamine, the benzo or antipsychotic administration is rejected by med users. For this reason, we have focused on the psychosocial approach, because elements as the reduction of stimulus or trust or simple accompaniment also offer discomfort reduction. And sometimes it's the only possibility to approach. During this year, together with the public health agencies, we have planned to carry out a training course on methamphetamine oriented to all professionals of drug services in Catalonia. About the community building, it has been a big focus during the last year. This community building has led from harm reduction services. We have created a network. We have shared the difference of and needs between med users in our city. We have included different intersections as LGBTIQ, homelessness, Philippine community, gender, and also civil society organizations that work on relevant aspects as same-sex, paraphernalia, treatment. The objective is to be able to cover the different spheres involved in the use of methamphetamine, not only the substances or not only the typical harm reduction strategy. In this community, we also include the participation of med users. From community building, we detected the importance of creating a specific work teams to continue the work. Now we have 5 working teams where the central point is the use of med and operating at different levels, as I said, and they meet monthly. At the base, we have incorporated an outreach team conformed by peers from LGBTQ organization and harm reduction professionals. They work at night in a traditional cruising area in Barcelona. On the other level, we have a working conformed by chemsex organizations and harm reduction services, a second working group conformed by treatment and harm reduction services, and one last group conformed by 3 harm reduction services, DCR, shelter, and housing first. Also, we have a group, the working group conformed by public health agencies from Barcelona and from Catalonia, and with the harm reduction services.
That was Esther Aranda, manager of harm reduction projects at Welfare and Development Association in Barcelona, Spain, speaking February 15th on a panel organized by the European Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction entitled Methamphetamine in Europe, Past and Present. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The National Safer Supply Community of Practice held one of its research webinars on February 6th entitled Imagine Safe Supply, Aligning Safe Supply with Community Values of People Who Use Drugs. We're going to hear a brief portion. The next voice you hear will be that of Erin Howley, a senior research associate with the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition. She's followed by Phoenix Beck-McGreevy, a research associate with the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition.
I don't know if anybody wanted to talk about the whole thing about current versus imagined and what it meant to talk to people about what it means to imagine safe supply.
Yeah, for sure. During the interviews, one of the things that I encountered a lot was participants starting to dream and starting to say like, oh, it would be cool if we could do this, and then immediately shooting themselves down. Oh, there's no way, we could never do that. And so really trying to overcome that self-imposed limitation, that barrier, that, again, the box that people just begin to do to themselves after so long of being put in this box. And it's really sad to see that, you know, people who've been abused and marginalized for so long just immediately begin to blunt those dreams when they come up, because it's never been allowed for them. So when people were encouraged to overcome that, it was really beautiful, because like Erin said, one of the safe supply models that came up over and over again from a number of different people was this idea of a place, a space for drug users, a place where they can go, where they can get safer drugs, where they can use them, where they can hang out, where they can get off the street, where they can do all sorts of things that have different sorts of community connections and care connections that they can access and take advantage of. But really being cemented in this forefront of like drug user owned and operated, and not, you know, not imposed on them. And that's something that I think has tried to be done a few times, and in some places it might work, in some places it might not, but really allowing people the opportunity to just imagine what they wanted and just to sit and daydream about what could be for a little while, I think was really hopeful and maybe helpful for people.
Right. So one thing we're hoping in sharing this research is to put the question back to whoever who might want to take it up. you're welcome to add it in the chat or discussion, is like, what would a process look like where you're inviting drug users in your community to imagine what safe supply looks like? How would you set that up? Like, would you have focus groups? Would it be more like where would it happen? Who would facilitate it? How long would it be? How would it be resourced? There's all kinds of questions you can ask about how do you understand more about how the people you work with imagine this thing, versus being like, here's what's on offer. You can't get on because this or that, or you can get on with these conditions. You know, we have, you know, it's like, well, what do you want? And like Phoenix was saying, some people were like, some people didn't know what to do with that question. And it took a lot of encouragement in sort of this unusual situation where you're talking to a stranger about something you haven't even thought of. And so some people stayed really close to what they already know. And some people were like, okay, well, if you really want to know, this is what I think. And it was interesting, the range of ability to imagine. An indicator of success or an evaluation could be collective imagining. I'm just like, it's sort of a strange thing to think about, but like, how have people's thoughts about safe supply changed over this interval of time, you know, and how much have people been able to realize those thoughts in practice? It's like, if you think about a model of safe supply as being rooted in community values that we talked about, your evaluation of safe supply programs might look really different. A core evaluation would be, what is the leadership and decision-making, changes in leadership and decision-making on personal and collective levels for the community, is a central aspect of safe supply evaluation.
I mean, in Vancouver, I've been lucky enough to take advantage of the Dulf Compassion Club model that's recently opened up. And I mean, it's a great model, but unfortunately, just due to staffing and financing constraints and legalization and criminalization concerns, it's only been able to be open to about 40 people. But it's really like, it feels a lot like what a lot of people said they wanted. You go in and outside of the prescriber model, you go in, you buy the thing, you can use it there, you can take it with you. There's not a lot of oversight. It's just really like a basic provision of services in a non-coercive environment where it doesn't matter who you are or, you know, what your situation is or why you want it. You can just go and just get it. And I think that's the start of something great. Oh, it's the Dulf Compassion Club, DULF, Drug User Liberation Front.
That was Phoenix Beck-McGreevy, a research associate with the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition, preceded by Aaron Howley, a senior research associate with the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition. They were participating in a National Safer Supply Community of Practice research webinar held February 6th, entitled Imagine Safe Supply, Aligning Safe Supply with Community Values of People Who Use Drugs. The National Safer Supply Community of Practice creates a lot of tremendous content. They have a lot of great resources, a lot of great materials. You can find them all on their website. That's nss-aps.ca. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
For the Drug Truth Network, so long. This is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy. We'll